I had to go to the DMV this past week.
The DMV? I thought acronyms were my thing now.
Right? I'm stealing it just for this little portion of the whatever this is. But I had to go to the DMV to get my tag renewed.
Okay.
And I went to the one in Hoover, which is usually quick.
Oh, Hoover, but I barely know her.
I'm like almost in line. It was an insanely long line. And there was this old man.
Old man?
This old senile white man.
How old was he?
Methuselah.
Methuselah?
And
are you sure it wasn't just meth?
Oh my God. But he was next in line. Tried to go up to the wrong window because he wasn't called up there when a window opened up. Then another window called him. And he didn't hear it. So then another window ended up later calling him. He goes to that window. I'm sitting there playing my little Sudoku on my phone. And he's like right in front of me. And I'm like sitting there. And I see him adjust and stick his leg out. Like stick his leg to the side. And like I see him pulling at his pants.
Oh, well, you know, it gets stuck sometimes. Locktober's hard.
And then all of a sudden I hear this stream of liquid hitting tile.
Oh my God. What?
And this man who is in sweatpants is pissing on the floor. It's like flowing down his sweatpants onto the floor, making a giant ass puddle. And then while he's at the window, he even like looks down at it and looks back at the...
He just keeps going.
And looks back at the person at the window. And then when he leaves, he had a cane and he leaves his cane. But he looks down to make sure he doesn't step in his piss puddle. And then starts walking away, realizes he left his cane, doesn't know where it is. And somebody that was in line pointed it out to him. So he goes back over there, looks down to avoid stepping in the piss puddle, grabs his cane and leaves.
Go piss, girl. Hello, everyone, and welcome to a special episode of Flapping and Fawning. And now it's time for the talent portion at 1 a.m. Flapjack.
I'm ready to pay hummus to the fungus. Fawn.
Somehow I knew that would come up in this episode for you. I wrote it down. Okay, so I know we already had an episode come out earlier this week, and plus we have two sets of looks to go over for today's episode. So why don't we jump in? But first, I know we have a 5-star review to read.
Yes.
Yeah. So as a friendly reminder, if you head over to Apple Podcasts or our Flapping and Fawning Facebook page, you can write a 5-star review, and we will read it at the top of an episode.
You'll hear it from our mouth holes to your ear holes. And oh my God.
Yeah, I wanted you to read this one because I knew it would be a very special one for you.
This review comes from none other than your current reigning camp champ, Miss Texas 1988.
Wow, is that special? Apparently.
And it reads, I have a crush on Fawn's mustache.
Thanks for writing a 5-star review, Miss Texas.
I live. Bitch, I live.
I was like looking at that. I was like prepping with the outline, you know, that you said that I was too scared to do an episode without. And yes, I am. But anyway, when I was prepping for it, I was like, oh my God, I have to let Fawn read this. And I want the reaction live on air. And you just got it.
That is incredible. I love that. I love Miss Texas so much.
Me too. Yeah, I am excited for their reign. They're really, really cool. But anyways, this is not about Camp Wanna Kakai Kiki, whatever. This is about
Camp Wanna Kill Me. This is about
Camp Wanna Kiki at night.
at night.
And we got a little bit of Camp Wanna Kiki at night at the beginning of this Dracula episode.
I feel like we need the like SpongeBob at night.
Best I can do is Before we get into the episode, I do want to remind everyone that we started a fantasy roster for Dragula season 5.
Are we not calling it the fantasy fag roster this season?
Oh, no.
Are we keeping it PG?
No, we can have the fantasy fag roster. I just keep calling it the fantasy roster because I didn't want to put faggot on Instagram.
I mean, valid.
You know, just.
But I will say it.
Yeah, I'll say it and spray it. So
I heard that about you.
Mm-hmm. I'm a squirter. Squirter, but apparently, okay. Fawn had on their team, they had Jarvis Hammer, Blackberry, Anaphylactic, Throb Zombie, and Orc Gothic. And I had Onyx on Dix, Fantasia Royale Gaga, JK, Neohoru X, Cynthia Doll, and Satana. So the winner has the winner of the show on their roster, and the loser has to do the scariest extermination from the season.
We started with the bag.
We did. We started with a good one. And, you know, we'll talk about the results of that once we get to the end. But you want to tell us how this episode opened, Fawn?
So we started with the Boulets in... I've watched this like 3 times already.
And you don't remember how it starts?
No.
Picture it. Black and white. Spooky house. Somebody screaming in the window. And then you see the Boulets.
They're looking at the Boulets' hair game. The Boulets' hair game.
I was like, what?
I just want to take a moment to appreciate the Boulet brothers' hair game.
Yeah.
I know at one point.
It could use a good dye job, though. Always that white hair.
I know at one point Bitter Betty was doing their wigs, but I
think really?
Marco Wigs is the one that does a lot of their hair now.
Oh, okay,
and
cool.
And I'm obsessed with Marco Wigs.
Good for Marco.
But yes, they introduce us to the new season of Dragula, and we immediately cut to a car pulling up to some woods.
Yeah, and... that's when we get our entrances. I truly felt like this was Camp Wanakiki at dark or after dark, you know, where we're just getting all of these monsters stepping out of their car or whatever. And we hear this voice that says, "Attention competitors, you must make your way through the haunted forest and find the base camp. If you are unable to find the camp, you will be immediately exterminated." That's what it sounded like.
I live for this kind of like fright feet to start the season off because they did that with season 4 with the haunted house.
Yes.
But the thing is, I want to see somebody not pass it.
Yeah, I feel that. I kind of wondered if someone wouldn't. So something I forgot, or we just never got to last time, was I was wondering if since there are 11 people on the cast, if there would be like a secret entertainer or a secret competitor, because that's 11's kind of a weird number, maybe they had 12 and someone dropped. I wondered if maybe in this we would see someone not make it because of that. But nope, someone did, or no one, everyone made it through. How would you feel that you would do in a challenge like this, a fright feat?
I'd be fine. I know hiking, like I'm used to hiking. I've done haunted houses. I used to work at a haunted house, so I'm kind of like desensitized to haunted houses.
Mm.
So I'd be fine.
It didn't really look that scary.
The worst part to me would be the taser.
The taser.
Especially
that's
if I
crazy.
Went through the water. If I was one of the ones that had to go through the water.
Yeah.
And then got tased.
Ooh, baby.
That would get me gal.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I that was the part I found to be like the most like, whoa. So we are going to go through and flop and fall on everyone's entrance looks. One thing I did not love about this episode, mostly from a podcasting standpoint, but also in general, is I want to be able to see head to toe the full looks of each one of these competitors. I mean, I know everyone works so hard on their packages. I want to be able to appreciate every detail, and it made it a little difficult to do that. So
the best time was like when they were around the campfire, really, is when you really got a good look at it. But even then, it was hard because they were jumbled together.
Right. And so we are using some reference photos that I pulled from the Dragula wiki page, you know? So it's like the RuPaul's Drag Race thing. So Camp Wanakiki has one. Dragula also has this. And a lot of them were GIFs. So I had to kind of like screenshot them. So if we don't give the best description, just heads up, that's why. But we are going to do our best to flop and fawn each one. And if it is your first time listening to Flapping and Fawning, we have a very sophisticated system here for whether we like or dislike these looks. Fawn, why don't you tell them about it?
If it is something that we love, it is a
fawn.
And if we hate it, it's a
flop.
And if it's the best, most fantastic Fantasia Royale Gaga thing that we have ever seen, it's a
fetch.
Stop trying to make fetch happen. It's not going to happen.
Yeah. And honestly, there were some pretty good entrance looks I was really excited about. I thought it was an interesting choice to start with Niohuru X. I don't know why. I was a little struck that she was the first one that we met.
Was this the same order that the Meet Our Monsters was in?
I don't think so.
Because I knew Neo was first in that and Jarvis was last in that.
In this, Orgotic was the last.
Was Orgotic close?
Yes. Jarvis was like fourth from the end.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Well, never mind.
But I thought it was interesting that she started. Niohuru X started both. I bet that they just think she's a, and I mean, as I do, an aesthetically strong character.
She's fashion.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, like, this makeup, oh my
god. The makeup, like, here's the thing, the outfit was kind of simple.
Yeah.
But it was, like, well-executed simple. Like, it was well-done simple. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's not a bad thing, especially when your statement is going to be the makeup with the prosthetics and all of this. I love a prosthetic work.
Yeah, she looks so good.
It's so good.
I wondered if, because there were a few people who I was like, what is going on with this outfit? And they were, I know that for, I think, Titans, I heard a podcast or watched a YouTube video or something where Melissa said that the outfits that they wore for their entrances, they had to be okay with, like, not being able to take back home with them. So I wondered if they got a similar instruction.
And
here,
also, like, you know, they can throw you up for anything walking into Dragula.
Yeah.
And, like, knowing that season 4, they had to do the
Haunted House.
Haunted House. Like, you want to do something that you're going to be able to be mobile in.
True. Truly. So, like, oh, my God. Can you imagine?
I get wanting to make a statement, but also, like, you've also got to be able to be functional.
Mm-hmm. And so I thought Niohuru was functional and fashionable. Yes. So for me, she gets a fawn.
Same.
All right. Double fawns, Neo. Next up, we had Onyx. What did you think of Onyx's look?
I haven't seen the, like, caution tape thing done in so long.
Yeah.
That used to be such a, like, huge, like, trendy drag thing.
Totally.
It was cute. It wasn't groundbreaking. Like, I feel like I've seen it. But it was well executed.
Yeah.
I really liked the hair. I really liked the hair.
Yeah, same. I also liked this one. I felt similarly. And I think someone on the episode also was like, you're in that knockoff telephone music video outfit. So, I definitely got that vibe from it. But I thought it made a statement about Onyx. And I also thought it was interesting. She was the first to find the base camp. Do you think they were all, like, actually looking for it at the same time?
I personally don't.
I don't either.
Because I listened to the Boulez podcast.
I have not listened to that yet.
And let me tell you, if go listen to Creatures of the Night. Is that the name of it? They are doing a postmortem of every episode. The day or day after, one of the two, that it, I think it's the day that it comes out, the postmortem will release, and they share some behind the scenes stuff. One thing that's different about this season and why they've been big on calling it Dragula 2.0 is their directors this season.
Yeah. I mean, they have complete control. Like, and at the beginning, it even said written and directed by the Boulez brothers,
which they've not been the directors in the past. And they talked about how they were grateful for the director they had that kind of helped, like, build a mold for the brand and make it stand out, but now they're kind of, like, taking the reins and being able to do what they want as well as give the fans what they want.
Yeah.
But I'll let y'all go listen to the podcast for that. But they're literally out there with the entertainers while it's filming.
Okay.
Like, they're with the film crew.
So there's no way they had 11 film
crews.
There's
no way.
And, you know, yeah, okay.
There's not 11 Boulez.
The only time, I mean, the only time that I ever thought that they might be doing it at the same time was like one person heard a scream and like turned, and I mean that could all be edited pretty easily. And then when they were all walking up like one at a time at the base camp, you know, I figured that people might run into each other on the way to the base camp or something like that, rather than just so steadily in. But anyways, doesn't really matter. Onyx on Dix, flop or fawn for this intro look?
Fawn
for me as well. Congrats, Onyx. Why don't you tell us about our next one?
Our next one is our first drag king of this season. It is Throb Zombie.
Ooh, I'm throbbing and turgid for this look.
The frame for the steel frame for this episode on Shudder is Throb in Jarvis's face.
Yeah.
So captivating.
I love that.
Two of like really aesthetically pleasing faces. And like graphic faces.
Agreed.
Throb's makeup here.
Throb's makeup.
So that's fucking the good.
I mean, sort of similar to Neo. It's like if you are okay with your outfit, you know, going to hell, then you might as well do something really cool with your makeup.
And I mean, you know? The outfit's cute too. Like the jacket with like the stitching and stuff
on
it. But
the makeup is
really like really what? Cool. It in the like, dark lighting, like the outdoor darkness lighting.
It was perfect.
Perfect.
Spooky, spooky.
I like honestly might give it a fetch.
A fetch? I'm not going to go that far, but props to you to do whatever you want. Fawn or flop?
Fetch.
Stop trying to make fetch happen. It's not going to happen.
Awesome. A fetch from fawn and a fawn from flap. Anaphylactic. Mary Poppins neon wannabe. is how I would describe this look at the least. I love the feather in the cap. I don't know. I really liked this entrance look. I thought the neon pops were fun.
It gives British camp drag, but totally spooky. So like I get her brand.
Spooky, but in a fun way.
Absolutely.
They kept talking about an unhemmed skirt. I would have liked
to see it. And then they never showed
that.
Us.
I would have liked to seen it.
We're doing that again. We're talking about shit off camera. I'd hate that.
I would have liked to seen it.
Please. Nothing ever stood out to me as being bad. Plus, they're in the dark. Whatever.
Yeah.
Move on about the unhemmed skirt. Okay. Anaphylactic. Flop or fawn?
Fawn.
Fawn.
Stop trying to make fetch happen. It's not going to happen.
Double fawns.
I guess anaphylactic gets a fetch from your finger.
I would finger just anaphylactic finger. Anytime. JK. Not JK to fingering anaphylactic, but JK is our next entrance.
I don't understand this look.
Yeah.
And maybe it's not for me to understand.
Well, someone said that they're a ladybug, and I wonder if we just couldn't see the ladybug dots or something. But you know what? We could see that cardboard that was untouched on the inside of that hat. And that's...
And it kind of looked like one of those like Amazon punk sweaters that's like already distressed.
Interesting.
Or like a Killstar punk sweater that's already distressed, which are slay. I love those, but like for your entrance look for Dragula, I'm a little bit like,
yeah.
Could it not have been a little more?
I thought that was a bit strange, especially, I don't know, what really took me out was just how you could see the inside and like the paper on the inside. They should put some like black duct tape or something on it.
I will always go up for JK's makeup.
Yep. They always look flawless in that arena.
Like to have like a little smidge of those skills, I would live.
Yeah. But honestly, JK, the second that they stepped out in this, it was consistent with exactly how I felt for their promo look too.
Yeah.
It was like, vision, but what, like this looks very thrown together. So it is a flop for me.
Yeah.
Sorry, JK.
And next up, we have Trinity the... I mean...
Bitch, I live!
We have Cynthia Dahl.
Ooh. Who, I don't know, maybe she listens to the pod now because she commented on our post saying Team Flapjack because she's on my roster, and I felt so bad because we talked so much shit about her.
We didn't talk shit about her.
Yeah, but I felt bad because we, like, I didn't... I mean,
I said that we gave her fawns.
We did. And then neither of us picked her for our roster.
Look, I was trying to decide between her or Throb. I was saving Onyx for my last choice. Not Onyx. Orc for my last choice because I knew you weren't going to pick Orc.
Yeah.
And I was between Cynthia or Throp.
Well, I mean, Cynthia, if you are listening, hello, you are loved. And I have to say, I was very impressed this episode.
Cynthia, I'm obsessed with Cynthia.
For real.
And the Trinity thing is not a read. I think she has a little bit of a similar face to Trinity.
I didn't see that until you said it.
And I don't mean it like in a shady way.
Yeah.
Because also, like, I live for Trinity.
Well, Onyx was being shady, talking about Cynthia wearing a bra and panty for the entrance on Dracula Season 5.
Which is where she clapped back about the Lady Gaga telephone music video.
I mean, I don't know. If they did have this prompt of being okay with losing this outfit, I don't hate it. But
she looks good.
Overall, it's not my favorite outfit. So I'm gonna flop it personally. There's not like I don't really understand what it's saying about her. So
she said that she's like sexy and like spooky and rich.
I think this looks rich.
Did she say rich?
I don't know. You said rich.
She said. Did she say fashion? I don't know.
It's a flop for me. Sorry.
I think I'm still going to fawn it, but I think it's because of the wig that I'm going to fawn it.
Yeah, the wig looked good.
I think it's the wig that makes me want to fawn it.
Love the makeup. Oh, how did you feel about... I know we last time talked about being unsure about how the nose makeup...
I lived.
You liked it? Okay.
I lived.
Me too, actually. I really enjoy her face. She's painted.
Yeah.
Next up, we had Blackberry. You know, I had one of those when I was in high school. I would text on it all the time.
I need her to do a look as a Blackberry phone.
She better. I'd be mad if she didn't.
Like a Scream type thing.
She should have brought
the phone from Scream.
Or she should have just brought a Blackberry with her and been like, ooh, no bars in the woods. Oh my God. what did you think about Blackberry's look?
It's like giving like biker.
Yeah. You know?
I live.
I really liked
it. It's a cute like.
Face is painted.
And you can tell like she comes from Texas. Mm-hmm. Like you can tell. Not Austin.
Not Austin.
Editor's note.
That was pretty funny.
I
mean, it's there's not really much monster in it, but I don't really think they need that just yet. So it's a fawn for me overall.
And the blue and green eyeshadow. I live for blue and green together. Like that's one of my favorite color combos. Mm. So fawn for me.
Slay. All right. Next up. We had, you're about to hate me, Jarvis Hammer.
Our second king of the season.
Our second king of the season.
I feel like you're going to hate this.
I don't hate it, but it's very similar to what their promo look was.
I don't think it is.
So, well, it's just
I think it's a similar color scheme.
When someone was like, oh, I'm George Washington in the forest, then I was like, oh my God. It just felt very similar to me to that promo look, so... I'm hoping to get something changed up. Now, I don't hate this look. I do like the big pussy bow. Anybody who knows me knows I love a pussy bow. And the big sleeves.
Well, I live.
Good.
And also one of the things that I love about Jarvis is Jarvis like is somebody that really does go all the way and always commits. Like you'll see Jarvis in a styled lace front wig. Like.
Yeah. I've appreciated
it's
that.
Every deep. I Jarvis think that they, thinks they of get who every they are. Single detail, and like I really appreciate that about Jarvis. Is like every detail is thought about.
Yeah, except for maybe like what we'll see the presentation order. I can't tell if you're mad at me or if you are thinking about what I said.
I don't know that I understand. Are you talking about the floor show for today?
Well, yes. Okay, we'll get into it. We'll get into it later. Flop or fawn for this look?
I'm dumb.
You're not dumb.
This is a fawn.
It's a fawn for me as well.
I almost fetched it, but...
I think that's excessive. Fetch.
I'm trying to take my personal bias out, so I'm going to give it a fawn.
Okay. Next up, we had Satana.
And I don't like her.
At all? You don't like her like as a human?
I think she's pretty. I think if she had the goods to back up her big talk, I would love her. I don't like this look. I love her makeup.
I like her makeup.
I don't like the hair and I don't like the outfit.
The makeup looks very, very good.
I love her makeup.
But yeah.
I don't like her hair.
I need to see her get like dirty and scary. Like I don't really know that Dracula is a good fit for her.
This outfit is just ugly. Like, I don't see a place that this outfit belongs.
At all?
No. Other than Goodwill.
Damn. You hate her that much?
No, I hate this outfit that much.
Okay. Well, earlier you said, I don't like her. So I thought you meant that you have a personal issue.
Yeah, but then
with
I started talking about the outfit. What I don't like about her is when Throb came up, she's like, I'm excited to see a king here, but I have really high standards for kings. And then when Jarvis came up, it was like, I really don't understand this Jarvis. So it was very like derogatory towards kings. And then the minute Fantasia walked up, she was like, oh my God, it's Fantasia. It gave a little bit of misogyny.
Well, like, I would say just remember the editing. It changes a lot of things. Like, she can't help what they put in, because who knows?
She can help what she said.
Yeah, but
being that was in a confessional probably the next day about the...
Yeah, but they're going to prompt you with different, like...
but you don't have to shit on kings like that.
But what they're going to do is be like, go down the line, tell me what you don't like about every single... Or what you think about every single person. And I think that they just chose back to back.
I think you can do that without taking a stab at kings.
I think that... Well, two things. I don't think it's derogatory to say I have a high standard for kings.
I think it is when you're singling out kings, when kings are already, like, shit on... Wait, like, why not just say I have a high standard for drag?
I mean,
because most of the people that say I have a high standard for kings hold kings to an extremely high standard that they don't hold queens to, because they will book a booger bitch.
I think that you may be jumping to a conclusion quite quickly about Satana, and we'll see a little bit more from her. Maybe she'll prove you right. Maybe she won't.
Like, here's the thing.
I think that also, though, that there are communities that have a thriving king community. And sometimes it's okay to have a high standard for what that is when there's a lot of them, you know?
I agree.
Same with queens.
But it's just like, why do you have to single the king out when you're literally saying, oh, there's a king here, but I have a high standard for kings. Like, you know what I mean? It just doesn't read well.
Yeah. I'm personally going to chalk it up to editing at this point, but who knows? Maybe it'll come out she's the, like, most misogynistic person ever. Who knows?
But, like, I will say, I feel like if she, like, hadn't said that, and if I, like, enjoyed her drag more, I would probably live for her. Because I love her, like, cattiness.
Who's going home first?
And, like, if she had, like, if she backed up her big talk, I would probably live.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen it yet.
Well, maybe she'll surprise you. So, flop for you.
Yeah.
I think I'm gonna fall on this because I think it does successfully kind of show me who she is, I believe. You know, just this like princess bratty kind of look. So that's why I'm giving it a fall on more than anything. I wasn't over the moon about it, but yeah. Next up we have Fantasia Royale Gaga. What'd you think?
She's coming out as a sequin mummy with some big old pageant hair.
Well, is she giving a mummy or is it just cutouts?
I got mummy from it.
Okay. I also kind of got mummy. I just wasn't sure if that was the intention, but good for her.
I kind of live.
Okay.
I kind of live.
It's still the same for me with Fantasia. I'm excited to see her really do something that's going to surprise me. And maybe she will. I liked her one white contact and her black lipstick. Ooh, that showed me Dracula, baby.
Let me tell you, her going through the woods, when she was so surprised, I cackled.
Yeah, she was fun.
Like, I loved it. It was so entertaining. Fantasia knows how to give TV.
She does.
She knows how to give TV. And that's what I'm really excited for from Fantasia. She knows how to give good TV.
I agree.
Oh, one thing we didn't talk about. I'm going to backtrack a little bit to Cynthia.
Oh, Cynthia. All right.
This is like also a little bit for those of you that haven't listened to the Boulez podcast. When she like had the blood thrown on her and she was on the ground, apparently she acted out this entire like death scene. And the Boulez did not know what was going on when she was doing it and thought she was like about to just tap out. But she was just acting out this extreme death scene.
She exterminated herself.
I fucking love Cynthia so far.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed her too. I enjoy Cynthia in the confessionals as well. She very much looks like that lady who chain smokes on her front porch and knows every kid's birthday in the neighborhood. You know what I mean?
Trinity the Tuck.
Same thing. But back to Fantasia Royale Gaga.
Somebody's gonna hate me for this.
Do you flop or fawn this look? I'm debating.
I'm fawning genuinely. This look.
Okay.
Here's the thing. If she's a pageant girl,
I guess she is showing
if she's
us
a
that.
Glamour gal, and it's a mummy, I think it's basic.
I guess I just didn't quite get mummy.
I got mummy. I think it's a little basic, but I like it. You know?
Yeah. If she's going for mummy,
I want more from her.
Yeah.
I want to see what else she's gonna do. But
and it's just
first
the entrance,
impressions,
so
if you're giving who you are, I like it.
All right. I will also give it a light fawn.
Like, I like the garment. I didn't like Satana's garment, but I liked this garment.
Gotcha.
If that
gotcha.
Makes sense.
It does. Then finally, we have Orc Gotic, and they seem to have like a romantic connection going between Orc and Neo really early on. I don't know. Did you notice that?
I did not.
Really? Go back and watch, because that was like, oh, we're getting twink drama again. Because it was literally Orc going, oh my god, Neo is like such a beautiful monster, and Neo said something similar about Orc.
I mean, I remember Orc saying that.
I
love this so much.
You like this look?
I love it so much.
Please tell me why.
Because it's just like so fucking demented and twisted, and like not like something we've really seen on Dracula before, and it looks like Loki straight out of a horror movie. I don't know. It's so sick and twisted and like.
Okay. So I totally see that from the face, but is that like a jacket?
Yeah.
So they've got like a
trench coat on.
Trench, like a white clean trench coat.
I live.
White clean flowy pants. I thought that the makeup was interesting. They had like little bumps.
Yeah.
So Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what
I'm
to think.
I'm fetching this.
Okay. All right.
Stop trying to make fetch happen. It's not going to happen.
I just don't. Not on this one for me. I'm sorry, Orc. I don't get it. So it's a flop for me. But hey, I'm not going to be. Listen, you will see later on in this episode, I am not an Orc hater. I don't get them. But. We'll get into it. So now that everyone has arrived at the base camp, we see, I forgot his name. Is it Israel?
Yeah.
Israel. Thank God I remembered his name.
Israel Zamora.
Israel Zamora. He walks a TV out with the Boulez on it. Very much like what happens when you have a substitute teacher and they just roll the TV card in so you don't have to do anything for class that day.
I need, and Bonnie and Robbie are the ones that came up with this idea, so I can't take credit for it. But I need Israel rolling that out and turning the TV on turn into a whole meme format where we see different things pop up on the TV.
Oh, yeah. That would be fun. I bet Robbie could do that easy.
Yeah.
Anyways, they say that this was the first fright feat of the season. And as a reward for surviving, all the contestants will receive a box set of Black Moon cosmetics. So I guess this means that there will be more fright feats, right?
I guess.
Do we think it'll be like Titans where they do it every episode?
I don't think so, because Titans was to substitute
the exterminations.
Okay.
Well, hopefully there will be more to come. I really enjoy starting the episode with a high note like this. They also tell us that the first floor show is Terror in the Woods, but that it's important to also see the signature style in the final look of each competitor.
This would be my challenge, honestly.
What would you be, a deer?
Duh.
Every
How
challenge.
Would I not?
I'm a deer.
No, but seriously, if the first challenge is Terror in the Woods and my name is Fawn.
You gotta do.
I literally have to.
You have to. That makes the perfect sense.
I would get critiqued.
Roadkill.
For not doing it.
Uh-huh.
If I didn't.
Exactly. When I was thinking, like, what would I do for this? I honestly still really like my camp spirit look. Like, this is just the camp spirit challenge, honestly. Because it's like.
There ain't leeches in the woods.
There's lakes in the woods. With
That's
leeches
a stretch,
in them.
Mama.
Okay. All right. Fine. Israel then brings them a shot. Should we do a shot before the break?
Sure.
Hell yeah. Let me go get some shot.
Flapjack is sensually going to get some shots. And I'm just going to give you a little bit of a ASMR. I'm currently sipping on my energy drink because it's my second energy drink in a row, and I had two coffees this morning because I've been getting like 4 hours of sleep every night this week because I've been going to bed late, but I have to be at work at 6 a.m. and Flapjack is daintily bringing the shots back in.
Daintily? Spilling them everywhere. In my hands, I hold two shots. But these shots, although they come in equal glasses and equal sizes, they are not equal. Do you choose the left shot or the right shot?
I'm scared. Can I know what they are?
No. That's the fun, Vaughn.
I'll take that one. As long as this ain't gin. Watch this be fucking gin. Let me get
gin?
My chaser.
You know, I flopped being gin. All right. Cheers to Dragula Season 5. You're definitely going to go bungee jumping, not me.
What was that?
Gin.
Hey, y'all. This is Twat Weiland from DIY Productions, a proud sponsor of Miss Magic City Comedy Queen. I'm here to tell you about our next big event as we get ready to ring in the new year. 2023 is almost over, and we're excited to invite you to the New Year's Eve Drag Night at the Nick. We've got not one, but two shows with a stunning lineup of performers. Make Drag Night at the Nick your last show of 2023 and your first show of 2024. In addition to the sickening performances, we'll have a photo booth, giveaways, drink specials, and a champagne toast to help you start your new year in style. Get your tickets now at tiny.cc/NYE_dragnight. That's tiny.cc/NYE_dragnight. Space is limited, so act fast. It's never too early for your New Year's resolution, so make yours Drag Night at the Nick.
Oh, I feel sanitized from the inside out. Yeah, my shot was vodka. How'd you enjoy your gin?
Ugh. Let's just say I'm not gin.
It was a terror in the woods.
Yep.
Well,
why don't we come up to the lab?
Oh, and see what's on the slab.
Did you notice they changed the boudoir to the laboratory? Laboratory?
I did. I think I'm about to throw up. Damn shots. I did notice that, but the thing that Flapjack, I don't feel so good.
Well, it was a warm shot.
It was. I did notice that they didn't call it the boudoir, but I think we went over this in Titans. Isn't the boudoir the, like, untucked?
It was still called the boudoir in Titans.
But isn't that, like, untucked, and then the cauldron is something else?
No, the cauldron
is where they stir the pot.
The cauldron was untucked.
So there's no cauldron in season 5. We have the lab and the boudoir?
No.
Or do they even call it the boudoir?
The boudoir is what is now the lab.
The lab. Okay. All right.
The reason it's the lab is because also... Because
monsters are
more things. Yeah, exactly. And, like, they do like to show us some previews of them, like, adding to their looks. They call it making their looks, but I'm convinced that it's not fully constructing their looks there.
I'm afraid that I'm literally about to, like, just projectile vomit into your face right now.
If you projectile vomit into my face, I will do it right back.
Oh, God. Ugh. My stomach is literally, I feel like I'm doing sit-ups.
You need to go get like a trash can.
I have a trash can next to me. I'm fine. It's down here. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. If you throw up, I might throw up.
Are you a sympathy puker?
I might be.
Puker, but apparently newer. I don't know if you can tell, but I'm already over that joke, but I just can't stop myself. Okay, what are we doing? We're talking about the lab. I don't feel like we have to talk about everything that happens in the lab and in the cauldron or whatever.
But they got their Black Moon cosmetics.
Yeah, got their...
I want some. I've been wanting Black Moon for a long time. Like, I followed mm-hmm. them for a long time.
They also got their knockoff Starbucks cups that were the Boulay brothers.
I want one so bad, but those are $50.
$50? For something like that, it better suck me back.
It's embossed, though.
In Boston?
Like, it's embossed. It says, it's like embossed. It's not just like a sticker on it. So, like, the cup was made that way.
Okay.
Which does up the value. You can get the two-pack of the Boulay Brothers cup plus the Boulay Brothers Junior Mints tumbler for $75.
Okay. Well, you were Little Mix Boulay Brothers over here advertising. Well, they don't pay us enough for all this.
Well,
don't pay us anything. Now, when we are talking about this, I want to know.
Can you show me?
Oh, I'm just trying so hard to choke down this vomit right now. All right. So, anyways, in the lab, we have a few conversations going on. First of all, JK busted their leg after getting tased. That must have super sucked. But they also talk about like what are people's biggest fears. And I wondered if this was maybe like a preview for what's to come in the season, you know? So,
well, they do ask you in the auditions what your biggest fears are.
Well, sure. I mean, I'm sure it's all intentional, but I thought that maybe they were cluing in the audience for future things. So like Fantasia mentioned that she's scared of heights. I think it was probably related to this episode. Anna says consuming blood or animal intestines,
which is a tradition.
We're going to keep getting that. Satana says she's scared of being first out. I was sure she was done when she said that.
I was hoping she would be.
I thought it would be her. And then Cynthia said that she is scared of floating in the ocean and not knowing what's beneath her. And I thought that was an interesting
clue. No, she said
clue.
She was afraid of being like the Titanic and sinking.
Oh, in the submarine. What am I saying?
Submersible.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I think that was from Titans. Somebody was afraid of...
No,
just, like,
the
floating.
Submersible was this summer. Nobody's supposed to be there.
The huh? like floating in the ocean. Was that Titans? Somebody was like just afraid of like just being adrift in the ocean.
I don't know. Does that scare you? Being adrift in the ocean like that?
Loki, yeah.
I mean, it would scare me, but I don't know that it's like my biggest fear.
It's not my biggest fear, but that is like creepy.
Totally. 100%.
I wouldn't want to do it.
Right, right, right.
Like I would if I had to, but I like wouldn't.
If
want
you had to.
Like if I was on a sinking ship, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But like I'm not just gonna be like, hey, can you go get me a helicopter and drop me off in the middle of the ocean? No.
Now we get to get some previews of people's floor show looks. And I think the biggest thing here, without getting into the looks too much, was Marshmallow Gate. Yeah. Thoughts? Seems kind of random.
Like, yeah. That's kind of wild.
It is.
Like, because I would not have thought of marshmallows. I mean, obviously, all I would have thought of was deer. But
yeah,
that's just because of my branding.
I probably would have thought of something just more natural, you know? That's why I was like, I would probably still do the leech thing. Like, I guess that's not the woods. But
I mean, Dahlia Black already did the leech thing.
I know. Okay. Okay. I know. And I did not mean to copy her. I totally did not realize that she had also done that.
I mean, yours looks were different.
They were, but we both had a leech arm, and mine came after hers. So I think I had some influence in the back of my mind by accident. And we also, like, as they're doing their makeup, we get another attention competitors. And, like, the floor show is about to begin.
I don't believe these. However, I live every time.
Oh, you like
the
them?
Chaos. Especially this time, what really stood out to me was Fantasia, like, running around.
Oh,
like,
that
crazy.
Was so funny.
Like,
they said, camp it up, girl.
I don't know how I'm going to feel about her drag all season as it pertains to the competition.
Same.
However, I know I'm going to love every second she's on my television.
Yeah. I've enjoyed her. Like, there's never been a moment where I've disliked Fantasia.
She's like,
so,
you can tell she's been on TV before. Yeah,
totally. She gets it. Now we're on to the floor show. I feel like we need a sound effect or something. I don't know. How does this go? Okay, that's it. That's what we have to sing every time now.
I can't even like burp on cue. Just give me a couple of energy drinks and
a shot of gin. Oh, don't you vomit.
The thought of another shot of gin made me almost vomit.
Well, okay, you know what we could do? We could do that. Ah! Because they had this weird werewolf sound cue. Did you notice that?
No.
Oh, my. So they were introducing the guest judges, who were director Mike Flanagan, who directed Haunting of Hill House. Have you seen those?
No, but this on my list.
Yeah, they are.
Here's the thing.
You
I'm
should move
really
them to the top of their. They are. Haunting of Hill House is literally no joke, the best, like, spooky thing that I have ever seen ever. Like, I've never actually been like screaming at the TV. Like, there is an episode I actually like lost my shit.
There's like a lot that I've like need to watch because I love horror, but also like
horror.
I didn't really love horror until I became an adult and was like working at a haunted house is where I truly like fell in love with horror. So like there's a lot of movies and I'm also just bad at watching movies in general.
Same.
Like
you got to watch all that Drag Race. Listen, tired of it. You know what you need to do? Okay.
I love it, but I'm also tired of it.
No. Well, hold on. Never mind. I was about to give away secrets about our life. I think that you, as a spooky alternative, vodka did me in. I think that you, as someone who is a spooky entertainer, should like prioritize certain movies because that's what I've done. I like certain campy movies. Have a list and
binge watching A24 films this week.
Is that spooky?
The ones that I've been watching are: I watched Bodies, Bodies, Bodies. I watched X. I watched Pearl.
Pearl.
I just watched The Killing of the Sacred Deer.
Shake it to the... Oh, that sounds like a very you movie.
Let me tell you.
Please. Enlighten me.
I watched that movie this week, and I need somebody else that has watched that movie so I can discuss it, because it was disturbing.
The Killing of the Sacred Deer.
There was not even a whispering of the word deer in the movie.
Oh. Was it like Bridgerton? Like, dear gentle reader.
Like, no, it was D-E-E-R. Is the spelling
like that's you?
Yeah. Unless I just missed it because I did watch it at work. Unless I just missed it, I don't even remember the word deer being said.
Huh.
And granted, I a lot of times fly into movies without reading even like a blurb about the movie because I kind of just want to like jump in, be spontaneous. I'm still trying to decide how I feel about the movie. The movie was very well done.
Someone told me about a spooky horror movie that I feel like I need to watch. And hold on. Let me tell you what it is. Maybe we should watch it together.
Have you watched Trick or Treat while you look for that?
I have not. But have you watched Talk to Me?
No, but that...
So good.
Somebody... I made a post
we saw
today
theaters.
About
awesome.
A24 and films. And somebody asked if I had seen Talk to Me.
It's very much
A24 does really good like disturbing movies.
Are they all Australian? All these movies? A24?
I don't know.
Is that what the A stands for?
I don't know. They're the ones that did
Australian.
They're the ones that did Midsommar.
Oh, and Hereditary. Yeah. Okay. Very good movies. You know, I went into Hereditary thinking it was a musical.
If you haven't...
Very very different vibe.
If you haven't watched X or Pearl, you need to watch X and Pearl. I watched them both this week. So I finally understand Lunacy's Pearl number that I have seen videos of online. I finally understand it. I am ready for Maxine to come out.
Movie I was looking for is called Attack of the Giant Leeches. And
oh, that was recommended to you because you have the leech look.
Because of my leech look. It has 3 out of 10 stars on IMDb.
That's iconic. I'd watch.
Yeah, but look, doesn't that look like my leech arm?
Stuff has to be either really good or really bad for me to watch it.
I think we should watch it. Let's see it. Do you know anything about Felissa Rose?
Who?
The guest judge on Dragula this week.
The one that was no.
Okay. Me neither. But hello.
You know,
happy
they
to
were
have
supposed
you,
to
Felicia.
Have somebody else.
Who?
I forgot who. Oh. It was in the Boulay podcast.
Probably
go
RuPaul.
Listen to the Boulay podcast. There was somebody that like canceled on them last minute that was from Yellow Jackets.
Aw. You know, I had a Yellow Jacket once.
I got stung by it a couple last white. Season.
Okay. So, yeah, you did last season. Actually, well, hold on. We're still in season two. That was this season. Season three starts
last
in 2024.
Year.
Anyways,
year.
We need to move on. So, it's time for the floor show. First up, we had Jarvis. What's his last name?
Hammer.
Thank you. Hammer. Okay. And, all right.
You know he's got a drag son named Rusty Hammer?
No, but I love that. Listen. Okay, Jarvis. I was not crazy about this. And I know Jarvis is going to blow us away eventually. We're going to get another promo look that is, or another look that's just as good as the
Wait,
promo.
Before we start this.
Oh, yes. We're still flopping and fawning.
Yes.
Ooh.
Are we doing this on whether we like the look or are we doing it on how we like the look and it fits the category?
I think it needs to be like,
is it a combination of the two or is it just whether we like the look? Because that
we always have to talk about this with Dragula.
Well, we talk about it with camp, too.
Yeah, it's because it judges based on the show. I think it's the presentation. And granted, this is a bit of a different...
I feel like whether it relates to the category is a... I feel like we should factor that in.
Totally.
Because, spoiler, there's a lot of these that I really enjoyed the look that I just don't see the connection to the category at all.
I agree. Okay, I think that's fair.
Slay.
Okay, so yes, the presentation as it fits to the category... Yes.
Yes.
And when I say presentation, I mean the way they walk on the runway, also how they do the presentation, and then also how it fits to the category. Yeah?
Yes.
So those are kind of like our three elements there. So we have Jarvis. How would you describe this look and performance?
Jarvis was a spooky ghost of a pilgrim with a pitchfork and a high school shirt on his pitchfork.
Yeah, were you able to tell what that said? I mean, it very much was like the vote for
it was
Pedro,
like a class of kind of like, I don't know. I like enjoy this look. It reminds me of Abora, which is like Abora is also from Atlanta.
Like in the fact that they overthought it.
No, it reminds me of Abora in the fact of like Abora's done that like colonial kind of style.
Okay,
like remember Abora's promo from Titans?
Yes. Oh yeah.
Like it.
This is
it
like
reminded
it has,
me of that.
It has height.
So it felt like almost like it might be referencing Abora since Abora is originally from Atlanta.
Maybe.
Or like paying homage to Abora.
Choice if
however, I just like didn't get how it fit the category personally.
No, I'm with you on that.
I really enjoyed the look.
I like that they talked about that they used dirt from their backyard to destroy. I thought that was kind of a cool detail.
However, also just like personally, I find that dirt doesn't always do the best at distressing the way that you want it to for stage. There are theatrical
darts
stuff that you can use. Like one of them is called Plains Dust. That's what I used on my like Zombie Bride look.
Oh, interesting.
I've had that look for years and that dirt is still on there. I also haven't washed it because I don't want it to come off. I just
spray
it down
with
Febreze.
Wash your drag.
I'll just spray it down with Febreze.
I feel you though. I don't necessarily. I feel like Jarvis missed something here. It did not come across to me how this was terror in the woods.
Like I can see that this character would be in the woods, but I don't associate this character with the woods. If that makes sense.
Yes, and I also don't really associate it with Jarvis. Like who we've gotten to know Jarvis to be from these two looks so far. Like
also,
I don't see that so much.
Jarvis like saying that it was going to be like political.
And that's not what they do?
No, it was the fact that Jarvis said it was going to be political because of like the puritanical. And it was just so over-explained. It really did kind of feel like an Abora moment where it was like a little bit overthought. Like, I really enjoy this look. I'm not taking that away. However, I just didn't see how it related. I think it was one of those things that it was just a little bit too overthought for the category.
Yeah. Which is why for me... it's a flop. Sorry, Jarvis.
Same.
All right. It's double flops, Jarvis. Sorry, Fran. Next up, we had Fantasia Royal Gaga.
She's giving you a little witchy moment.
Yes, like
a
voodoo witch
moment. I fucking lived for this.
Yeah, tell me why.
It's like quintessential like voodoo priestess kind of like vibe.
Yeah.
And seeing her, even her coming out there barefoot, I think barefoot on stage for a purpose works really well when it's done very intentionally for a very specific purpose. It also gave me a little bit of a Lady Gaga in Roanoke.
Yeah, I see that.
So it's like very tribal, witchy, of the earth. Like, I bought it. It's not my favorite of the week.
Same.
And but I enjoyed it.
So I really love, my favorite thing about it, I think, is the skull mask. There was a moment when she was walking on, like, towards, I think it was the beginning portion of the floor show, where I couldn't really tell where the mask ended and the makeup began, and I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
It really felt like it was incorporated into her makeup. I think the concept, however, is something I've seen before. Like, I've seen this kind of voodoo witch thing.
However, this is also, I will say, for what we've seen from her, this is the most outside of what we've seen from her, based on the Beetlejuice and the
mummy-ish look. Yeah.
This is the most outside and the most I've seen her push herself, and this is already the first episode. So she's not just relying on glamour already in the first episode.
And that's true. Maybe the first episode is probably not the time to do something that you've never done before. So I'm gonna give her a fawn for this look.
Yeah, I'm gonna fawn this. Like, she's double already fawns. Showing me more than just glamour, and I appreciate that.
Same. Yeah, I'm glad we stepped out of that this time. All right, next up we have Orc Gothic. I loved this.
I loved everything about this. I'm so obsessed with this. The, like, insect Cenobite forest ranger
It's
vibe.
Ranger Danger and his two giant dicks.
Oh, my God. He must have gotten a lot of piercings.
Yeah, a couple Prince Alberts or two.
That's a Jacob's Ladder, mama.
And I could fit it. I think I love it. I mean, someone critiqued this for being a little too clean, like the jacket. And I don't know. I kind of get it.
Somebody on cast, right?
Yeah, with Satana. I kind
of
get
that.
She
has a lot of opinions for bottom.
For bottom.
For me, I love this. I love this so much. It's been very clear that I love Orc. My only concern is sometimes, like with this, this makes me a little worried. Not worried. It makes me a little hesitant, because I think the joining of the arms to the like outfit itself was a little bit crunchy.
Yeah. Cut those sleeves off, you know, enlarge the sleeves or something.
And I just worry about that being continuous. I want to see a little more refinement mm-hmm. in some of the future episodes. Because also, who knows what their time frame is like? Who knows what? Because Orc's from Colombia, right?
I think originally Colombia, but they're from Argentina, according to the Argentina Weekly article.
So there's no telling what his resources are like for to be able to create some of this stuff before coming. And I just want to see a little bit more attention to detail in some of these finishing totally. Moments. However, this is still an absolute fawn.
Yeah, same. Big fawn. I was very impressed with this. Like this was the moment where I was like, okay, I think I understand what we're doing with Orc now.
Orc gets me so fucking excited.
One thing that really cracked me up, someone complimented this look, and they like there was just this shot up close of their face where they couldn't move it because of the makeup or mask.
The plastic wrap on the face.
Well, yeah, but they just go,
they have to be sweating.
No, they go, thanks. I just thought it was so funny because they couldn't move. And just,
you boom. Know he has to be sweating a lot because he wrapped his entire face in plastic wrap before, like,
Sweaty Betty.
Before putting the makeup on.
Do you think this needed to be a dirtier look, though? Or more distressed?
I'm fine with it.
I didn't, because
I'm personally fine with it.
Yeah, I sort of saw this as the moment this park ranger transforms, rather than when they attacked people. But also in that case, I do think that maybe there should be some rippage of the sleeves or something, as like it doesn't fit, it's bursting.
I would have liked to seen like the tentacles actually coming out of the sleeve.
Yeah.
Even if like that meant the sleeve is ripped.
Agreed. Anyways, though, well done, Orc. Very, very cool, very impressive look. Next up, we have Onyx.
I also
dicks.
Liked oh. Orcs, like, kind of being like, and I put gold on him because I do like a little bit of the flashy glamour. That yeah, was cute
this
to
is
me.
Very glamorous.
I liked it.
Onyx on dicks.
This look is fantastic.
Okay, but
this look is beautiful. This look is the reveal of the puppet because I kept seeing the shoulder move and like the fake hand where she was holding it. Fantastic look.
Now, I know that the critique, and I know what you're probably about to say, is the it doesn't give you Terror in the Woods, right?
No, not at all.
Oh, what are you about to say?
No, like, that's...
it doesn't give you Terror in the Woods.
Not at all.
But on my second watch of this, I noticed a few elements that were woodland.
Are you talking about the little, like, mushroom tendril sticking out of the back of the dress?
Well, there were three. There was that I noticed. I also noticed in the hair, she has, like, a log that's coming out of it. And then also when she was walking out, and this may have just been my eyes playing a trick on me, I kind of got like a fox in the face vibe with the way the hair was, but I wasn't sure.
Oh, I didn't.
And so I say all of that, not necessarily to like defend it as Terror in the Woods. I don't think she completely missed it, but I think that she didn't use the elements strongly enough.
Honestly, I think all the placements this episode were correct.
Okay. I disagree with one of them. Just one. And we'll get to that when we get there.
I love this look a lot. I'm not discrediting this look. This to me is also kind of like Jarvis, except I like this look more, honestly. It's just, especially when she described it, when she gave her story, and it was so convoluted.
Yeah.
That's what really took me away from it even more. The story took me further away from it than I already was. You know what I mean? Like, I was like,
and this is also
I could almost see an argument for how this would work. And then she tells her story.
I was like, what?
And it was like almost at a disservice.
Mm-hmm. I sort of wish that she had. No, I wish entirely that she had presented herself more. Because I feel like the things we've learned about her, right, is that she will do crazy shit, like stick shit in her body. And I think that she could have done something like that for this first episode. Just
and especially
like,
when the Boulets know you do that. And
that's not what you deliver. Yeah. So I guess this one is...
It's a flop.
Is a flop. A flop for me.
Not because it's a bad look, but because it's like, who is Onyx? I'm not getting Onyx from this, from what I've learned so far.
Yeah.
And also, like, it just doesn't fit the challenge.
Absolutely. Next up, we have Nirohuru X Mama. Okay, listen.
The nine-tailed fox herself.
And what does the fox say? Fetch.
Stop trying to make fetch happen. It's not going to happen.
I was really excited for this because this is something that my husband, who is from Vietnam, has told me about before in Asian culture. And so I just thought it was really cool that I recognized this thing. And I was like,
the nine-tailed fox is popular in a lot of the different Asian cultures. There's a lot.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Asian cultures that have their niche things, but there's a lot of them that do go through a lot of them.
And what's wild is that Bon Bon had thought about making a look like this or inspired by this particular character before. And I was just like, oh, well, Neo did it the best it could be done. I hope you can do it, babe.
My only criticism, and it is a very, very light one, and I mean, this is a very light criticism. It's like, the mask does look a little bit store-bought. Like, I would have liked just a little bit more, like, dimension and detailing in the mask. You know what I mean? It feels a little flat as far as, like, color and texture.
Let me look at a reference. I think it's very...
I like that it's stoned around the eyes, but, like...
The thing is, though, I think that it's very similar to images I have seen of this. Yeah, I didn't feel that way because it literally looks like that, like in the folklore. You know, it has that white fox face.
What I mean is, it just feels like a store bought mask that was used. If that makes sense, you know what I mean.
Let me look at it. I don't know. I that is not something that I felt. It looked
maybe
tied in very well.
But like I said, that is a very extremely light criticism. Because,
yeah.
Like, I don't mind because also it was such a fucking well executed, because I'm pretty sure that's a prosthetic.
I mean, look like, at all the detail.
Yeah.
And the head on the, well, the head on the umbrella, the masks made with the faces, the tails themselves. I think the distressing on the garment is beautiful. I was really, really impressed with this. Also, like, I know with the mask, I mean, I guess I could see what
I
you
just,
mean with
like,
this.
I wanted maybe a little bit more like dimension and like texture to it just because it kind of felt.
I see. Wow. The thing is, I felt that she did add that dimension by doing things like rhinestoning all around
and
her eyes.
I said that I liked that.
Putting
detail.
Blood around like the mouth. So for me, the dimension's there. Yeah, I don't know. It and the yellow eye. I love like the second she turned the corner, I was like, I think she won. And look, I have to say, I was not feeling great about my roster after last episode. And bitch, I don't know what's going to happen in episode two. I hope that she is not another. What's her name? Homegirl who won the first episode, got sent home the next. She was on Titans. Astrid. I hope it's not another Astrid situation.
I hope she is.
I would be brokenhearted. But baby.
We'll see how she survives Monsters of Rock.
I don't know what she's going to do. But this, oh my God. I literally am so excited for new Uhuru X. And I am ashamed that I slept on her to begin with. Work, bitch.
Yeah, I'll fetch this look.
It's late.
Stop trying to make fetch happen. It's not going to happen.
It's so cool. I love everything about it. Next up, we have Throb Zombie. What'd you think?
I love Throb's makeup.
Okay. Agreed.
The beard, I don't live. The
I
beard
think,
looked a little Party City.
I think that Throb look. This is why I did not have an issue with Satana saying that I hold a high standard for kings. Right. I think that Throb did everything here. That is what gives bad king or gives kings a bad rep, which is wearing a plaid shirt, wearing jeans, throwing your ponytail into a hat. Like, I was shocked that this is what they wore on the Dragula main stage on the
to
very
me,
first
this
episode.
Gives like Texas Chainsaw vibes.
How?
Just like the like country bumpkin that's like a murderer. You know what I mean?
And that's Woods how?
Because usually the country bumpkin murderers are like killing people in the woods or they live out in the woods. Like, I see it. My biggest gripe with this is the beard.
Yeah, the beard is rough. This is a flop for me. Like the arm piece, though. I think the arm piece is cool.
Spooky. I'm still going to give it a fawn.
Okay.
I just don't live for the beard.
I was very unhappy with this look. I was like, oh, what is this?
The makeup's great.
I'm looking forward to see what we get
this
next time from Throb.
Fantastic makeup. Throb is an incredible makeup artist.
Very much so. Makeup looks stunning.
I just really hate that beard. I really hate that beard.
Yeah. All right. Next up, we had Blackberry. And I know that we had two s'more death looks. And to me, this is the placement that I disagreed with. I think both of them should have been in the bottom. I don't think that either of them look all that good. I don't care that we're comparing them. I think they both look bad. So, like, I what was this?
It took me a couple watches, and I've come around to enjoying this look.
Okay.
I really love the detail of the hair with the pillow in the hair. And I do really like the concept behind this. I honestly enjoyed the concept behind this more than I enjoyed the concept behind JK's. My two problems with this look, because I only really had two, was I would have liked a panty. I get that it's a sleeping bag, and I get that, like, it's probably supposed to be playing like you were nude in the sleeping bag. Like, I get that. However, like, what happens when you flash your crotch? Because that's bound to happen.
Did she? I think she might have been wearing a panty. Wait, isn't that? I felt the slit was an awkward cut, but like isn't that a panty right there, or is that just a shadow?
Is that?
I think that's a panty.
Maybe it is a panty, and if it is a panty, I'll eat my words.
I think it's just really high, because it may also be operating as like shapewear.
Yeah.
My
other critique is, if you are having like the marshmallow skewers that are the two pronged ones, why are the marshmallows past the two-pronged point?
That's a good point that I did not see before.
And that's really my biggest gripe with it.
I felt that also structurally it didn't look very sound. Towards the end when Blackberry was sitting there for the judging, they were kind of like flopping all over.
But also, I don't know who I would have replaced in the top. Who I would have put in the top over her?
Cynthia Dahl would have been mine, but we'll get to that.
I disagree.
Maybe Fantasia? I don't know.
I would have kept Blackberry. This is
in
the top three for me.
Ooh, that's unfortunate. I don't know. I would want better looks from the season. This is just not it for me. I do. One thing I like is that it is made of a sleeping bag. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So flop or fawn?
This is a fawn.
And it's a flop for me. Sorry, Blackberry. Next up, we have Satana in this fairy look. And I think I said earlier
this look is gorgeous.
Yeah, which is the problem, right?
That's all it is. It's gorgeous.
I feel like she would do better on a different show, to be honest. I just don't know that this show is the right fit for her. I don't think she's shown me yet that she is.
She'd be good for being the weird girl on Drag Race.
Yeah, weird girl on Drag Race or I don't know, something. There's just something missing for Satana for me.
It's that
edge.
It's hard sometimes when all you think about is being cunty and pretty and glamorous.
Mm-hmm.
When that is always the first thing that you think of. Sometimes it's hard to let go of that and really dive in.
Like, I don't see the filter, the horror here.
Which, like, you don't always have to have those categories. However, you have to have the horror in this.
And yeah.
And there's not
it's
any.
It's literally the category is terror
there's
in the woods.
No,
that's
horror.
Horror
in this.
Yeah. It's a flop for me because it doesn't really seem to fit. I think it fit the challenge.
I think it's a gorgeous look.
Or fit the show.
I think it's a gorgeous look, but terrible for this challenge. So it's a flop.
Sorry, Satana. You're
she
very
was talking
gorgeous.
A lot of shit. She was talking a lot of shit, and she does not know how to back that shit up.
Maybe she'll surprise us next episode.
She better.
We'll see.
I have high standards for Satana.
You should. Good for you. Next up, we have Cynthia Dahl. Okay, so did you not like this based on your thoughts or based on what you were saying earlier? Or
I don't understand the fangs.
Okay.
My other thing is I personally sometimes... As somebody that also enjoys neoprene, especially for like a fungus look, sometimes just airbrushing on neoprene isn't enough. Like I needed a little bit more texture, if that makes sense, for like a fungus. It just felt, even though there was a lot of dimension through airbrushing, it still felt flat.
Do you feel this doesn't pay homage to the fungus?
I enjoyed this look.
You didn't answer the question, Fawn.
But that's why I wouldn't put this look in the top.
Okay.
I think this look is a good look, and I think it is a good, safe look.
Okay.
But I wouldn't put this in the top.
I know you are fresh off of making a fungus look. So you are definitely more of an expert of it than I am. Me looking at this...
I also didn't understand the black corset.
Yeah, I felt the same. I wish that this was more just of that. Airbrushed neoprene. I really like the elements of it that are not the black, though. Like, I love the fingers being really long.
The fingers, oh my god, the fingers were fan-fucking-tastic.
I also really enjoy the way that the fabric moves on the arms.
And, like, the top of it is great.
It also kind of gives me a witch, in a way. Like, a witch's hat.
Yeah.
The way it kind of sits on her head.
Don't get me wrong. I really enjoyed this look. However, if it was me, there are things that I would have done differently.
Is the black corset, is it something else? Like, if I look closer, it doesn't look just like a clean
it's
corset.
Like textured, but I couldn't really get a good look at what
she supposed to be like that's like a log or something, and she's like growing off that log?
Maybe.
Maybe she was trying to add like a woody sort of thing. It's a fawn
woody.
For me. Woody. It's a fawn for me.
Same.
Yeah. I personally would have put it in the top over Blackberry. So next up we have JK. Thoughts? I like this. JK. Sorry, I'm a bitch. I love the headpiece, and that is really all the positives.
I really enjoy JK as a drag artist. However, it is really insulting to be like, I'll make it past the first episode being safe.
Yeah. I hated that they said that so plainly in the cauldron. I will say, when I was prepping for camp, I did sort of... it wasn't that I said, I'm going to phone in this first look, but... when, like, I don't know. I kind of had it in the back of my mind. Okay, well, I'm going to have an upward trajectory.
But also, like, that first look kind of sets your tone for the season.
It does. And I think it's a smarter move to come in really guns a-blazing and have that be one of your best looks so that your first impression can take you farther. And I think that's the misconception, right? Like, it's like, oh, well, other people will be worse than me, or I can probably make it by on that first episode. And
right.
That's not always the case.
Because also, like, that's your first impression. And if you're supposed to be showing your signature drag and you're phoning in your signature drag.
I do want to say, though, that with JK, I think that they show more of the tenants than, say, Tana does.
When we get to, like, the elimination stuff. Yeah,
probably jumping ahead. Okay, yeah. Flop or fawn for you for JK?
It's a flop.
It's a flop for me as well. But I have to say, I really like that headpiece. I wish that the whole look...
I liked the shoulder piece.
Was it that same? Oh, my God. What is that? The sticks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And cool. When they pulled the marshmallows out their ass.
All right. Last but not least.
Anaphylactic. How's our head? I think there's been a few complaints.
It's in her hands. Okay. I would like to say something controversial yet brave. I personally feel that Anna did the same thing that Onyx did. I think that it's a very similar concept, and it doesn't really make sense as the woods to me.
Yeah, but I get witchy and more woodsy from her than I do from Onyx.
Because she's green? Who is, like, she, Alexis Michelle?
There's, like, moss and shit on her head.
Moss?
Like, it's, like, dirty, like, the stuff creeping onto her face from her head.
Is that moss? Okay.
That's what it looks like.
I suppose. I
green distressing. Like, I believe it as a witch. It just not as just some bitch that was so pretty bitch that she got cursed, and then now she has to go live in the woods with her twin.
This is the witch that did it. This is the witch that cursed her.
I
see a lot of parallels there, because the other thing is the prop was also a head for Onyx and for Anna. So I don't know. I just thought that was an interesting sort of parallel that I saw there.
I will say, like, I can reason this more than I can reason Onyx
for being
in
higher
theme,
placed. Yeah.
And, like, being. Fair. But it's still a stretch. So for that reason, even though I really do love this look too, it still really feels like a stretch. So I'm going to have to flop it.
Yeah, I think it's a flop for me. Sorry, Anna. Let's stop overthinking these challenges, Dragula folks. Okay, so the only other thing before we get into our next break, thoughts. What do you think about this floor show format? Did you like it?
I love this. This is exactly what I wanted. We get the runway moment where we get to see the full look, and we also get that kind of, like, music video-esque kind of moment where it's the traditional Dragula style that we're used to that has really made Dragula stand out. So we're getting the best of both worlds with it. So I live.
Yeah, I'm right there with you on it. I like that we're getting both of these. I want for every look. They need to get in the habit of always showing us a clear shot head to toe of everyone's look. I'm so tired of having to piece together, like, screenshots of the episode.
Apparently they've got a turntable, so when they're in the back, the artist, like, is back there, and they can pose, and the turntable moves, so they don't even have to, like, turn around.
How cool.
Yeah.
Oh, how the turntables.
And we Whoa. Are...
I don't know why that scared me. It was Dragula spooky. Can you imagine if I just let out a scream like that?
And we are back just in time for the judging.
Ooh, sometimes it's scarier than the actual floor show. Did Drac sound sick to you?
I didn't notice.
You didn't notice? Oh my God. It was literally like oh, they were talking like this the whole time. I think I forgot to mention. Did you notice that they were wearing the same look as the
promo? Yeah.
I wondered if Drac sounded sort of hoarse or sick because they had been going literally all day in drag.
Probably.
Wearing the same look.
Because I feel like I'm just recapping the Blaze podcast.
This is a recap podcast of a recap podcast.
But the way it sounded on the podcast might have sounded like they might have done like this in the promos and like the entrance stuff. So like they had like three looks. But like,
what did they also do? Exterminations in the same day?
I don't know.
Like that?
I don't know that this was all done on the same day.
Oh, okay.
But what I'm saying is like basically all of that done before this is what it almost sounded like.
Ugh. Yeah.
It sounded like promos were done early.
Well, and Drac sounded a little sick to me. Go back and watch it one more time or just like that part. Because Drac just sounds very different than other times that we've heard her. And maybe she was just talking a lot. I don't know. But she sounded sick to me. So I hope she's feeling better. They announced that the safe competitors are Anna, Fantasia, Cynthia, Throb, and Jarvis. Our bottom was Onyx on Dix, Satana, and JK. And our tops were Blackberry, Orgotic, and Nirohuru X, with Neo being the winner. Congrats to her!
Slay! I agree.
I totally agreed as well. Orc was second for me.
Same.
And it was literally like, if it came down to details, in my opinion. If Orc had like just fixed those sleeves, I would have been kind of, I don't know, split, honestly, because Neo's is perfection in my opinion.
I agree 100%.
But I noticed Blackberry did get some negative critiques, so I think that she's kind of like high safe. So anyways, we had that. Did you disagree with any of these other placements?
Not at all.
Blackberry was the only one for me.
I felt like all of the placements this episode were correct.
Okay. I was glad Onyx was safe. I felt that her look, although it didn't fit the category, was just categorically better than Satana and JK's.
Yeah.
They announce before they go to the boudoir that the extermination will be hiking 5 miles in drag and bungee jumping from the bridge to nowhere.
It was like 2 to 3 hours up and 2 to 3 hours back. I think.
So that's what they said, 2 to 3 hours. Okay. So it's like split.
I think.
The 5 miles is like 2.5 there, 2.5 back.
I think.
I just like that 5 miles.
The Blaze did that hike with them.
I think that is nuts because like that was the part that got me, honestly. Like, have you ever gone on a hike that long?
Yeah. I accidentally walked for 4 miles at the beach a couple weekends ago.
Okay. Well, okay. Interesting. I know that could be difficult with the sand and everything. Glad I didn't have
that
to do
Gulf
that.
Sand is wild.
Yeah.
It'd be like throwing your back out.
Yeah, but you're very experienced in that area, so I'm sure you were fine.
Get my back thrown out.
Yeah. I think...
More like blown out.
Well, like, so I've done several, like, 5 mile hikes before. 8 mile hikes. 10 mile hikes. And the thing is, those are full day hikes. That is a lot. So I wondered how that worked. 2 to 3 hours doesn't sound like 5 miles to me. So I hope they didn't have to do a full 5 miles. That's crazy. Because they probably have blisters out the yin yang. And I noticed that Satana was not wearing heels. So I was glad they didn't make
Neither
them do it
more
in heels.
Wearing heels.
That would have been brutal. And like just cruel.
I was hoping one of their wigs would fall off when they bungee jumped.
They must have had them things strapped home. Mm-hmm. I was thinking, since our bet this season is kind of based around what we consider to be the scariest, we should probably have a way to rate it to see which one ultimately is the scariest, right?
Yeah.
So I guess what, like on a scale of 1 to 10?
Sure.
Okay. On a scale of 1 to 10.
I feel like each of us has to answer this because it might be different for each of us.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. All right. So on a scale of 1 to 10,
How would you rate it?
Yeah, with 10 being the scariest. This one kind of has two components for me. Doing a 5 mile hike and drag, that doesn't seem scary to me. That just seems like it would hurt my body.
Yeah.
So we're just bungee jumping. Yeah. That's what we're saying for the bungee jumping and drag. I don't want to hike 5 miles and drag. That I'm not doing that. Sorry.
Flap said, fuck this bet.
Look, I already took a hike. I'm not doing another one.
We can, if you did lose, you can do this and you can hike in your DDF.
Oh my God.
I think that's what it should be.
No.
I think that's what it should be.
I already got such bad blisters from those shoes. I'm not.
You don't even have to wear those shoes. You can wear a comfortable shoe where you won't get your hot feet.
I will bungee jump if it's bad. I'm not doing a 5 mile hike and drag. Absolutely not. That seems.
It doesn't have to be 5 miles.
I just don't even think that's
good.
What
about a 1 mile?
Like, because we're making like content, right? Like, that's not interesting to watch.
What if we do like a 1 mile hike and we like edit the clips of it?
But that's nothing.
A 1 mile hike and then bungee jumping.
I don't want to hike.
You said 1 mile hike is nothing, and then you're like, but I don't want to hike.
I don't. Not in drag.
Listeners, if you agree with me that it should include at least a 1 mile hike, sound off.
At least a 1 mile hike.
And if you agree with Flap, sound off. We need to know.
I will walk from wherever I park my car to the bungee jumping place.
Or you will walk from wherever I park my car to the bungee jumping place.
I don't trust you to drive. You get shot at. All right.
I feel like you'll just pull your car right up to the bungee jump.
No, because oftentimes you have to go somewhere. Anyway, this doesn't matter. Bungee jumping. Scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the scariest.
I already asked you and you haven't answered
yet. I would
yet.
Say probably an 8.
Yeah.
Because more than anything, I think I'm excited to do it. Like, there's a part of me that is a little scared in that I've seen videos or heard of stories like where like someone didn't get hooked on or something messed up and they actually died. And that's scary. But
for me, it's not that I like think that I'm going to die. And it's not that I'm scared that I'm going to get hurt. For me, it's I literally like don't like the feeling of falling and the feeling of free fall literally makes my skin crawl.
Oh, so is this your number one, you think?
It might be. We'll see.
Is
I don't know what the rest are. I'm going to put this at like an 8.
At like an 8 as well.
Because I don't know what the rest is.
Yeah. But I mean, if free falling
like,
is
I feel
like
I could do it. And I feel like I might would like feel like really exhilarated after doing it.
Yeah. I it definitely is scarier than some other things they've done before. Like in season 2 when they had to stand in a bucket of ice water. I was literally like, that's my fucking challenge. Let's go with my hot
yeah,
feet.
But that was... like, after the challenge where they had to do
I would have
the
been
piercing.
Fine. Would have
the
been
the piercing
fine.
One would have been the one that really fucking got me.
Mm. Well, the ones where you have to like go and until they just want to stop. Like that's wild to me.
And this one, when I listened to the once again, this is just a bootleg podcast recap
podcast.
Since they both did it, it basically defaulted back to the looks.
Yeah, that's what I figured as well.
Because I knew that's something that I've always wondered, like, do they default back to the looks? Is it how they handle the challenge? Because, like, is it how they handle the extermination a factor of it, or do they just default back to the looks? They default back. In this situation, they defaulted back to the looks.
I think that makes sense. I mean, there's a way to judge how many times you do it or whatever. So, okay, well, that brings us to our fantasy fag roster. You didn't have much happen on yours.
Two of my people were in the top, thank you.
Yeah, that's fair. Two were in the top.
And three of yours were in the bottom.
Three of mine were in the bottom, but one.
And one went home.
And one took what is it? It got exterminated.
One died.
One died. So goodbye, JK. But now we're on even playing field. We both have 5 people left. Fawn has Jarvis, Blackberry, Anna, Throb, Orc. And I have Onyx, Fantasia, Neo, who has one win, Cynthia Doll, and Satana.
Not you putting this little star on there like it matters.
It matters to me, okay?
Well,
yeah.
It doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things. All that matters is who wins.
It may play a role. Who knows? All right. Flop of the week. We're here. We're queer.
Get used to it.
Get fucking used to it and get wrecked. motherfucker.
Locktober's over, baby.
But no, November's still going strong.
Oh my god.
Okay, so flop of the week. This is our chance every single week to give a 60-second uninterrupted rant about something in this world that deserves to be flopped. Have you got a flop of the week in mind, Fawn?
I'm working on it.
You're working on it. Well, I'm ready, Betty. Can you time me?
I most certainly can. Are you ready?
I am literally the readiest.
3, 2, 1, go.
My flop of the week is people who rip off other people.
Cue the sniper.
And today, that sniper is pointed at the country of France because the Paris Olympics were announced and they literally copied the Camp Wanakiki logo in the Paris Olympics logo. Have you seen this shit, Fawn?
Oh my God.
The torch is a fire with lips on it, and the hair around it is the fire.
30 seconds.
Wow, is that special, apparently?
That's literally the Camp Wanakiki logo. I hope that the Sugar Baker twins have extraordinarily good lawyers, and that they can speak French beyond oui oui, baguette, and other French words. Because they are not going to be getting any badges this season at the Paris Olympics, okay? All they're going to get is jail time because this is a fraud. And that's why the Paris Olympics are my flop of the week. Seriously, go look at it. Google it right now. Pull over your car. Google Paris 2024 Olympic logo. It looks like the Camp Wanakiki logo. That's crazy. Have you really not seen this, Fawn?
No, not until you showed me.
You know who showed me? Miss Kitty Litter ATX. And she said, oh no, I'm going to have to get another hip. All right, you ready for your flop of the week, Fawn?
I actually do have a flop of the week. I actually wrote one down like
last week. Oh, you wrote one down? Oh my God.
Like right after our last episode, I thought of a new one.
Fucking Flapjack is my flop of the week. All right, ready? Your 60-second timer starts now. This is Fawn's flop of the week.
My flop of the week is when a non-binary person uses he or she along with they, them, and people never use the they, them because it's so convenient and it's just a habit. I'm sorry. So you mean just because they use a she or he, that's going to be your default because you don't really see them as a non-binary person.
Excuse me, bitch?
Because it's just so much easier for you to go by the he or she as society has treated you. Because, for example, Demi Lovato used to go by she, her a long time ago, then went by they, them, and now it's a she, they. But everybody still wants to use fucking she, her exclusively for them.
This is garbage
because
10 seconds
it to me when you only will use the traditional he or she for a non-binary person just feels a little like gross to me.
This is really fun and fair.
And that is Fawn's flop of the week. Yeah, I hate it.
It makes my skin crawl.
Yeah, I swear.
I get that it's an acceptable pronoun for that person.
Yeah.
It feels lazy and like you don't care to never use a they, them for somebody that uses an additional pronoun to it.
I think that's fair. I think there are people in the world who would prefer to be a grammar Nazi than to make someone feel comfortable in how they refer to them. And I think that is very problematic. I'm someone who uses he, she, and they pronouns out of drag, and I get he'd all the time.
Right.
And I don't know. For me, it's kind of a thing of I do want you to refer to me of how you see me in that moment, and I don't mean it as how you see me determines my gender, but I often express my gender differently on a day-to-day basis. So I could see what you mean by that.
Because, like, people also do it to Janelle Monáe. Like, these are, like, the big names that I see it happen to, like, the most.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, oh, just because you've known them for this long, known this celebrity as this for so long, oh, you're too lazy to worry about changing it. And I'm like, so then how does that affect the non-binary people that you know in your day-to-day life? That's what it really like translates to me as.
Use they every now and then, folks. It ain't hurting anybody.
And if the other pronouns are fine, it's fine to use them, but it's like also occasionally try to make that effort.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be every time.
Because it does. It makes my heart sing when someone uses they and I know they're using it intentionally. Yeah. Because it's that moment of you see me. Like you see that I'm beyond what I was assigned at birth or what's in my pants. And I appreciate that. And I think that brings us to the end of our episode where we will be doing our fawns of the week.
That we completely forgot to last week.
We did. We just were like, we hate everything. Bye. Happy Halloween.
I'm in my like no filter era. I'm trolling people even more on Facebook than I have been. like if I think of a shady comment, even as like a joke on somebody's status.
Say it.
I post it now.
I
don't even think twice.
Do you are you going to the Drag Night at the Nick?
I should be.
On the day this is coming out, Friday, November 3rd.
I like plan on being there.
Listen, I am in I told you in our last episode, I am in my chaotic era.
You're in your reputation era.
I am. I have decided,
Taylor Swift,
everyone.
And this is your reputation era.
Birmingham has so much drag drama that I'm just going to start doing drag numbers about your drama. And
we're going to talk about it on the pod.
That's what I'll be bringing to Drag Night at the Nick. So come on out if you have the time.
Oh, and before we get into our fonts of the week.
We
should probably get into a few plugs. We do have next week, by the time this comes out.
What's the date?
Next week on November
the 8th.
Drag Bingo.
My birthday.
Highwire. Make sure you come out.
Mm-hmm.
Buy me a drink and tell me happy birthday for Flapjack.
Yes, yes, please.
And then you can say hello to Flapjack.
Yeah.
Don't worry about telling her happy
birthday.
Honestly,
just give me the finger.
That you would like that, you kinky bitch.
I would. You can give me two of them if you want.
I've heard you can take all five.
Oh, I could take all ten.
Oh.
All right, what's your fawn of the week?
My fawn of the week.
Oh my God. Did you not prepare anything nice to say fawn? You've had 6 weeks. You haven't had any fawns of the week? Anything nice?
My fawn of the week was going to be like getting to take a break, but I, even though like I'm on a drag break, I'm not getting to take a break. Honestly, my fawn of the week is just those friends that like I can be around and hang out with and not really feel like I have to like put on for, like the ones that I can really just like, I don't feel like I have to like mask anything around. I don't have to feel like I have to be like a certain kind of way, that I can just be like the realest fuck me, no matter how I am that day.
You heard it here first. Fawn is anti-mask.
Mask spelled with a C.
Mm-hmm. Anti-mask for mask. Yeah, those are good friends to have.
Yeah.
I think for me, my fawn of the week is going to go to this comedic singing duo that I discovered thanks to Hillary Yass. She posted this video of her performing a song called Save the Bees by Flo and Joan with her podcast co-host Selena Vile and good friend up in Canada. So I have been listening to Flo and Joan like nonstop. I absolutely love everything that they do, and I'm probably going to be performing some of their shit. So
slay.
Well, thanks everyone for listening to another Dragular review on
Flapping and Fawning.
Thanks for listening to Flapping and Fawning.
Music by Elliot Nass.
Promotional art by Danny Lee.
Hosts are Flapjack.
Oh, hey, that's me.
And I'm Fawn. You can follow me on Instagram at fawn.fawn.fawn.
And you can follow me over at Instagram as well. And pretty much any other social media platform at flapjquellen, FLAPJACQUELINE.
Connect with us on social media on Instagram at Flapping and Fawning Pod and on Twitter at Flap and Fawn Pod.
Oh, and make sure you check out the links in our bio to buy some merch. You can also connect with us via Gmail at flappingandfawningpod@gmail.com. See you next time.
Bye.
Ta-ta.